If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 7. We'll read these scriptures and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you, lifting up your holy name. You alone are sovereign and in control of all things. All glory be unto you. For even as we read this scripture, we recognize that you alone have the power and authority to control all matters in heaven and earth. There is none above you. And it is you, Lord, who has condescended to give word of your Son. And even now, in this very day, some 2,000 years later, your word is still being preached all over this earth. We ask your mercy upon the preaching of the word now, at this time, on this very day, in this very hour, that you, Lord, would use the preacher by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that your Spirit would deal with the souls of the people. We would find joy, truth, encouragement, conviction, all of these things, Lord, would be found in the truth of the preaching of your word by the power of your Spirit. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. As we ended last week, we discussed the birth of this child, the Messiah, the one who himself was born as the King of all ages. There was not one like him. There was not one who would ever be like him. He alone would stand the test of time as the King of all kings. And yet we see such humble beginnings. Here he is, a small babe wrapped in cloths, laid in some type of a crib. And as there's no room for them in the inn, he's been born in some little type of corral for animals, maybe even kind of a cave in the side of one of the hills near Bethlehem. And then Luke, as the historian that he is, he gives us some important information to recognize about the birth of Christ. It was humble in its beginnings in so many ways, and yet surrounding it was something of great measure. Not everyone would know of this beginning in the same way, but there were some shepherds in the same region, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. They were made aware of this great day. This morning, our overall thought or theme is, in those days, the coming King was revealed to some shepherds. In those days, the coming King was revealed to some shepherds. Firstly, we note that the shepherds were in the same region as Bethlehem. It's the idea that they were in this relative area. They weren't in Bethlehem, but they were in this relative area. They were out in these fields, probably nearby within just a few hours. Here we can understand there's a difference in time between the shepherds and the Magi. The Magi are mentioned in Matthew's gospel, and the Magi, they had to follow a star from the east. And by Herod's workings, and he surmised that he needed to kill young boy children, two and under, they must have come from a far distance, because he decided the best way to deal with that was to kill these children 2 years and under. And we can reckon then that the Magi came months after the shepherds, or even maybe even a year or so after the birth of Jesus. But the shepherds, they were in this region of Bethlehem, and they came to see him lying in some type of crib in this corral or cave. And the Magi came sometime later, and they came to a house, and they bowed and worshiped a child, not an infant, lying in a manger. So these shepherds were almost, in a sense, they were the second on the scene. Here's Mary and Joseph. Of course, they were right there, and they had the privilege of seeing the Messiah come into the very earth in its very moment. But the shepherds were nearby. And as they were nearby, they were in this field at night. It's interesting that you would consider the fact that they're there in this field at night. It's a remote area, probably outside of Bethlehem. It's not as though Bethlehem was some great metropolis. And they were outside of Bethlehem somewhere, and they were in this field or kind of area where they could feed their sheep. And it was remote. And it was remote not only in the place, but in the time. The angel would come at night. And so here these shepherds are guarding their flocks at night in a remote area. They're probably rotating their shifts back and forth. So as they come in and out of their shifts, they're guarding against these predators. Some are awake. Some may not be awake. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the shepherds who were in the same region as Bethlehem, the shepherds who were in the field at night in this remote area, in this remote time, and these shepherds who were guarding their flock, some in and out of shift and asleep, the shepherds were arrested by the presence of an angel. And this was not just any angel. They suddenly beheld an angel of the Lord. And the scripture tells us that the glory of the Lord shone around them. You would have to imagine this was quite a scene. Here these shepherds are thinking just about normal everyday life. Here they are doing what they normally do. Whatever was going on in their lives, they may have had families that they had left behind somewhere, and maybe in Bethlehem where some of them were from, and those families were having to deal with whatever life brought them every day, just like what happens to us. And out of nowhere, this angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Scripture tells us they were terribly frightened. Some of your versions say they were sore afraid. Think about it for a moment. The idea of being right there in this remote place and time. If you've ever been out in the wilderness in the evening, and in a remote wilderness, you'll know how quiet it can be. You probably hear the sounds of the animals, and that's just about it. There's been times where I've been in remote wilderness areas where for hundreds of thousands of acres, even square miles, there was really nothing else happening but the wilderness. It's very quiet. You can see on a clear night every star in the sky imaginable. You hear the sounds of just a few animals around you, maybe, whatever it might be nearby. In a way, it's kind of peaceful. These shepherds would have been used to a lot of these peaceful nights, except for maybe nights that they had to deal with a predator or two. They would have been used to these peaceful evenings. They would have been used to these outdoor times of just being out in these remote places. So you can imagine when the angel of the Lord appeared, it would have frightened them. It would have stirred them. It would have gotten their attention probably like nothing else had ever gotten their attention. Have you ever been in some type of remote wilderness and you are out there and you all of a sudden hear the breaking of a limb or a stick out in the dark? That kind of gets your attention. Is it a bear? What is it? Well, this is even something greater than that. The very angel of the Lord is sent right there in front of them. And they are seeing the very glory of the Lord shown around them. Certainly it was not all of the glory of the Lord at once, for they could not have beheld that. But they saw what glimpse they could of the very glory of the Lord, and even God protecting them from their own demise. And as this event awakened them, like no other evening, this was not just a wolf coming in to take one of the sheep or the lambs. This was something that just stirred them to a great awakened moment. And on top of that, the angel speaks to them. So they suddenly beheld an angel of the Lord, and they certainly heard the message from the angel of the Lord. And the first thing he says is, "Do not be afraid." Now it's interesting. They are afraid. Shouldn't be a shock to us, right? But it wasn't a shock to the Lord either in sending his angel, and he gave in his message, the very first message of peace was, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. After he gives them this message of do not be afraid, he then explains to them there's good reason not to be afraid. Why? Because he says, what? "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Turn your fear around. Whatever you're fearing in this moment, shepherds, whatever it may be as you're witnessing the event right before you, turn your fear around. Do not be afraid. For there is good news with great joy. The good news of great joy is so good, so great. The angel Lord says that it will be for all the people. Every tribe and tongue and nation. This is not just any good news. It's not just good news for you that you're not going to die in this moment seeing the very glory of the Lord. It's not just good news for you that you're not having a heart attack right now. It's not just good news for you in this very moment. This is greater news than even that, of great joy. And it goes for all the peoples of all the earth. Now, you have to stop for just a moment. Think about their context. And also think about why this very message is still good news and great joy for all the peoples today. These shepherds were living in a day where the Roman Empire had marched through and basically taken over most of what was called the inhabited world. These shepherds were Jewish shepherds, more than likely, of the context of a Jewish upbringing. They had seen all of the troubles that the Jewish people had had with the Roman government. These shepherds had watched all the difficulties that had gone on with all governmental structures around them and the troubles and trials of the world around them. These shepherds were just like us. They had seen all the personal trials, all the personal struggles that each and every person goes through in life. It's likely these are shepherds who had seen the death of an infant child, of one of their own, or a close family member or friend. These shepherds had seen the death of loved ones. These shepherds had seen the difficulties and trials of watching their friends and family struggle with famine. Famine was an issue for the Jewish people of the day and would be on several different occasions. So much so that by the time Paul is called to the gospel ministry, one of the things that he does is he takes up offering to take back to the Jewish people in some of the churches and regions in the area of Jerusalem. You and I need to recognize this wasn't some special group of shepherds who had never had any trials or difficulties or problems. This wasn't some special group of shepherds that had never gone through anything difficult in their whole lives. This was not some special group of shepherds that were alienated from anything that might be troublesome. These were shepherds just like we are people. And the good news of great joy was brought to them. And they would see this good news of great joy, and the message would be about the coming Messiah. Certainly it may not have hit them all the implications in the moment. I'm not saying that they had this great epiphany and all of a sudden all of Old Testament scripture made sense to them right there in the moment. But these shepherds knew enough to understand that this was a great sign. Because the shepherds heard the message of the good news and great joy to all the people. And it says in verse 11, "For today in the city of David." Now that's an important message to them. These Jewish shepherds hearing "in the city of David." They would have known. This is about prophecy being fulfilled. They would have, at some point in their lives, heard the scriptures read about David the king and the prophecy of Messiah to come. And the angel says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior." We know that "you" has the context of speaking directly to them, but in the context of the whole also, when it's for all the people, it's a plural "you." There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Upon hearing of this message of Christ the Lord, they had to be stricken with thoughts of great joy. And strangely enough, think for a moment. While all this is taking place, Bethlehem is somewhere in the region, but it's not nearby in the sense that they just see all of this happening. Bethlehem's a small town or village. It's not like they would have really known this is going on. You say, well, the glory of the Lord was shown around them. How could Bethlehem not be lit up and everybody know? It didn't happen that way, according to the Scripture. And there's all kinds of ways that that might not have happened. The Lord could have specifically made sure that those shepherds saw that angel and the glory of the Lord shown around him. Whether he had them placed on the other side of a hill from Bethlehem to where only the light was shown to just the shepherds and it was blocked to the city itself. There's all types of ways that are plausible. But unbeknownst to Bethlehem, unbeknownst to them, they hosted the birth of the Savior. And it's these shepherds who are in a region nearby who are hearing of it. And yet it's happening right in the middle of their city, their town, their little village. We see here that the angel is bringing a message about the Messiah himself. While the glory of the Lord shines around him, the shepherds are hearing this news. Bethlehem has no idea what's taking place, although it's taking place in their little town. The message is being shown that the Messiah is born, and Christ the King brings glory to God. The first thing that baby did, that little baby Jesus did in his birth, was bring glory to God the Father. Before there was any real genuine understanding of who he was and what he was, and who he is and what he is. In the moment of his birth, he was bringing glory to God the Father. It just goes to show you, and everything that was taking place, even in his very birth, he was not only doing the will of the Father, but he was bringing glory to God the Father as his Son. But not only that, in his birth, Christ the King brings peace to his people. Now the message not only comes about the Messiah and who he is, but the angel of the Lord says, this will be a sign for you, in verse 12, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. He said, here's a sign. Go into this little town of Bethlehem. It must not have been that big. They don't have any kind of star to follow. There's no other information really given to them. But he'll be lying in this little crib, in this area right here, and be wrapped in these cloths. And there must not have been that big of an area for them to have to patrol, because it's not like they were given tons of information. So they go into this little town. There probably, maybe it only been this one birth at that time in the evening in this town that was this little babe. And so they're able to find the place where there's a little babe. But before they leave to do it, they witness a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. And what they're saying is, glory to God in the highest. Here's what the angels are saying. Because this babe is born, he's bringing glory to God. And because this babe is born, he's bringing glory to God through earth having peace among men. But note the ending phrase in verse 14. Among men with whom he is well pleased. Already in the birth of this king, we are getting an understanding that there's something particular in the work of Christ. Ultimately, this earth will be renewed one day and there will be peace all over it. But until then, there will still be wars and rumors of wars, and famine and struggles. But in the midst of all the wars and rumors of wars, and the famines and the struggles and the difficulties, the plagues, there's a message of peace between God and men whom he is well pleased. You know, there's another place we see this phrase, the idea of being well pleased. It's later on in Luke at the baptism. I think it's in chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased.'" When you consider Ephesians 1:9 and Philippians 2:13, the context of the person and work of Christ is that God will ordain a people for himself according to his good pleasure. The idea of God being pleased is God's good pleasure. We have to recognize that this is a very specific message to go out to the whole of the earth. But not every single individual will inherit this great message. For many will stay in rebellion. But here on this day, the message is clear. The glory of God is here. It is shown in the very Messiah. And the Messiah's birth is bringing glory to God. And now peace among men is being accomplished. Among men whom he is well pleased. And it cannot be said that the Father is well pleased with every single individual on the earth. It is a phrase used for those who belong to him. "You are my Son in whom I am well pleased," is what the Father said to the Son. Jesus is his Son who obeys his will, and he is well pleased with him. Therefore, he is well pleased with those who belong to him, that repent and believe in the one whom he sent, Jesus the Messiah. Already, the idea of belonging to God in repentance and belief is being implied in the context of the coming of the Savior. It's not a message that every single individual on the earth will believe, but it is a message of an offering of peace, reconciliation between God and man through the very birth of the Messiah. The coming of Christ is great joy, good news. And at the same time, it marks the reality of the rebelliousness of mankind. Because the good news is there. The offering will go out throughout all the world in a general sense. Many, 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 many over 2,000 years have heard it. But not every single one of them has repented and believed. Many have said, "I'll have my peace, my joy, my way."
But when the Son
was born on that great day, God was saying, there is only joy and peace one way. One way. And it's through my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. You can only imagine as the shepherds hear all of this. As soon as they hear this great multitude praising God, in verse 15 it says, when the angels had gone away. We don't know how long it was. If it was 5 minutes or 10. But it was long enough for them to be mightily aware of what had happened. And after the angels had gone away, in verse 15 it says, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then. They spared very little time. This is why it's probably some hours after Christ is born that the shepherds arise. The Magi come later. But these shepherds, they're there within probably hours. Was it 4 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours? I don't know. But they're there on the scene within hours. They said, let us go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. I think you see the obedience of believing men. These men heard the message and they obeyed the message. In verse 16 it says, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And the baby as he lay in the manger. I want to leave you with a few observations this morning. Number one, much of God's work goes unnoticed in our daily lives. Much of God's work goes unnoticed in our daily lives. Isn't it interesting how the Lord Jesus came into the world? It's not the normal way a king would have been recognized. It gives us an indication that God is doing his work to bring about his purpose, his peace, his joy. Throughout all the earth, every single moment of the day, even when we don't see it and understand it. Bethlehem had no idea. Now think, the shepherds are out there, they're being told, but what's happening in this little town of Bethlehem? People are just going on about their normal day, their normal lives. We're doing whatever, and it's in the night, so most of them are asleep, right? They have no idea. While you and I sleep, the Lord never slumbers. He's always working. This is how we can trust Him in any difficulty, in any trial, in any trouble, in all of life. We may need rest. Our bodies may need rest. Our minds may need rest. God never rests. He's always working. And He's always working for His glory and His purpose. And He can be trusted in His mighty, glorious purposes to work consistently, constantly, according to His good pleasure. And His good pleasure is totally matched in His holiness, His purity, His justice. So we need to remember, even while it seems like not much is happening, most of God's work goes unnoticed, even in our daily lives. Have you ever thought about how difficult it might be to sit down and recognize? Just sit down after a day, after you've had a full day, and try to account for every second of God's working. You know how hard that would be to do? It's impossible. Because of his eternality, because of his immutability, because of who he is in all of his working and being. You and I just couldn't do it. We might could look at things in our lives, but we still think of all the seconds of our day, and we would try to account for God working in every one of those seconds. He's doing it. He's doing it. And this is one place that we can see that that's the truth. So the very coming of the Messiah. Secondly, special revelation bursts through, piercing between joint and marrow. Special revelation bursts through, piercing between joint and marrow. Can you imagine the piercing nature of the word from the angel of the Lord to these shepherds? We've probably, honestly, none of us have ever seen anything like that. Nothing that's even close. And you can imagine, here these shepherds are in the middle of this night, and here's the sudden appearance of this angel of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shone around him. Boom! There it is. Here he is. And then he has a message. It apparently cut these men to the core. Because let me tell you something. Shepherds have a code. And one of those codes is, when you are on watch, you don't leave your duties. Why? Their very wealth, their very livelihood is wrapped up in these sheep, in these livestock. And if they lose them, they will lose money and food. They will lose everything for their families. And they have a code. They will not stray from their duty. And yet in this moment, upon hearing the very message of the Lord, they were not trusting in their own work. They trusted in that very message to go see this baby. The word of the Lord pierced through to the very joint and marrow of who they are. I'm not saying that every shepherd is as dedicated as the other. I'm not saying that every single shepherd always holds the mindset. But I guarantee you, if there were a group of shepherds, there were at least a few of them that knew, we don't leave our responsibility. You've probably known people like that in your lives. That when they're responsible for something, they take it seriously. And yet when they heard the word of the Lord, they turned and they obeyed and went and did exactly what they were told to do. Go find this baby. We need to understand that the word of God inscripturated is no less piercing. This is what God uses in our lives by the power of the Spirit to deal with our souls. When you read the very word of God, you're reading God's word inscripturated. The Spirit of God accompanies that and pierces between joint and marrow. He deals with the very being of who we are. That's why as believers, we can't leave that word alone. We can't put that word aside. It is the word of God that keeps us in the trials of life. As Robin said to us from Psalm 3, and there's many psalms that talk about the Lord being our shield. Psalm 54:4 talks about him being the shield and the sustainer of our souls. And one way that he sustains our souls is through his very word. Because the word of God is not just words that we read as we would read any other book. The word of God is the very word as if it were from an angel of the Lord. It is that word where God has condescended to man and he speaks to us and the Holy Spirit accompanies that word and deals with our very souls. I say to you this morning, we need to be amazed that these shepherds saw the angel of the Lord and they heard the message of that angel. And yet we need to be even more amazed that God would send his very word in scripture rated, that we could 2,000 years later still hear his word today and read it. That's amazing. And we need to be thankful for it. Thirdly, the glory of the Lord brings fear, even when God's ultimate purpose is peace. The glory of the Lord brings fear, even when God's ultimate purpose is peace. God has an ultimate purpose of peace between men and whom he's well pleased. And yet if there's an ounce of humanity in us, if one of us was presented with the very presence of the Lord in just a minute detail, it would bring fear to our souls, because he's the very creator of the heavens and the earth, and he's the creator of our bodies and our souls. It's a dangerous thing when we begin to treat God like he's a little buddy. We need to see him for who he is. And those shepherds got a glimpse that night, just like Moses did at the burning bush. When we read his word and we see who he is and what he's done, we need to take pause that we're coming before the God of all the ages, and there is none like him. To have a healthy fear and yet to know through his word, he's bringing peace to all men who repent and believe. All peoples, all tribes and tongues across this globe, wherever the gospel goes, to those who repent and believe, God is bringing peace between him and themselves. Fourthly, God's people are arrested by his grace. I would have to say these shepherds were arrested by the grace of God. They heard the message of the grace of God and they responded to it properly. The whole scene arrested them. And this is what God does in his work. He arrests the very souls of people, that they are changed people and they make different decisions and they think differently than the rest of the world. I'm not saying these shepherds became perfect, but I am saying they did believe and they acted upon that belief thoughtfully. And they did so instantly. This is much the same for any believer. When we hear the very message of the gospel, the good news, we are arrested by the grace of God. And even to this day, those of us who are believers, it's amazing to us that God would save anyone. And it's certainly amazing to us if we're honest about ourselves, our own thoughts and mindsets sometimes. I'm still often amazed that God would save me. I don't understand that. Even as a pastor, I just don't think right things all the time. Far less often than I should. Why would God save a person like me? I can't seem to get it right. I can't seem to really obey him like I should. For any person that thinks you're going to be perfect in following Christ, you've misunderstood the whole of the gospel. The perfection is not wrapped up in you. It's not even wrapped up in you being perfect every single second of the day. The good news of the gospel is that Christ is perfect. Yes, there should be a desire for us to follow in obedience, and we should strive in it. And holiness and sanctification ought to be a part of desire in our life. And yet at the same time, this is why John says, when you sin, you have an advocate And that advocate was born on this day that the shepherds were told of his coming. Lastly, this morning, God's messengers are prompted by his truth to live and speak of that truth. God's messengers are prompted by his truth to live and speak of that truth. The shepherds immediately went to find the baby. Immediately. And once they got there, the shepherds immediately spoke of the news regarding the baby. Verse 17, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. That which the angel had told to them, now they come, and here's Mary and Joseph standing there. We don't know if there may have been somebody else. I'm not sure of that. There's an indication that some think so, but what we do know for sure, there's the shepherds, there's probably a few animals around, and there's Mary and Joseph and this baby, and these shepherds immediately spoke of the news regarding the baby. Here's what we were told. For us as believers, we need to be reminded of the great joy of the gospel so that we don't lose heart in obeying that good news and speaking of that good news. These shepherds, they were prompted by this truth to live and speak that truth. Notice how they walked in obedience and they came and they told of the message. But also, the shepherds immediately responded in praising God after they saw the baby. Hearing of the good news ought to bring any believer to praise. Even if you've been a believer for a long time, hearing the good news and the great joy of the Messiah ought to open our hearts that we would praise him. Notice that after the angel finished, that the multitude came and they were praising God. And now as the shepherds left after they had given their message, they're praising God. It's true we're living in difficult times. It's true we're living in times like most of us have never seen before. It's true that there are days we're not sure what to do or what not to do. But there is one thing that we can be sure of. Because of the very birth of the Messiah, the very birth of the coming King, we are to understand that there is great news of joy and peace among all who repent and believe, peace among them before God Almighty. And if you and I understand that we have peace with God, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the things we don't understand, there's always a reason to praise God. For he's always working and doing his good pleasure to save and keep his people through every difficulty in life. The interesting thing about the shepherds, after they left praising God, we have no indication that all of a sudden they became these declarative people of the king who went and lived in a palace. They had to go right back to being shepherds, living in the daily struggles of what their lives were, but they had a renewed sense of joy and purpose. Because the Messiah had come. They had heard of the prophecy, but now they knew of his coming. They didn't all of a sudden just go live in a palace. They went and lived their lives out as shepherds. You and I will leave here today, and the troubles of life will still be all around us. The difficulties of all the questions of life will still be there. The question is, what is our focus? Are we going to continue to look to ourselves? Are we going to look to the message of the one true glorious King, Christ, the Messiah, and praise God in all of life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been merciful to give us this morning to hear your word, to know the truth of your word. We ask, Lord, that you would accompany your word by the working of your Holy Spirit according to your good pleasure. Lord, give us new hearts for those who are unbelieving according to your will. Give us striving hearts in sanctification for those who are believing, that we would trust and glory in you alone. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.